I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.
Hey, talkers. Stax Rosh here, and we've been busy doing all kinds of stuff off the air, so now we're back on the air, right at the end of the year, right before New Year's, right after Christmas, just in time to get one more show in for 2007. And we have a lot of things to talk about, starting with this whole holiday season nonsense here. Christians seem to think that they have the monopoly on winter celebrations, and it seems to me kind of odd that they have forgotten, and most people know, I mean, this is common knowledge now, that Christians stole Christmas from the pagans. I mean, that's common knowledge. And the pagans even stole it too. So even the pagans didn't come up with the whole winter season celebrations. Here's the logical reason for winter celebrations. It's freaking cold. When it's freaking cold out there and things are dying or appear to be dying all around, plant life and such, we need something to celebrate to kind of get us juiced up for spring. And so that's reason number one for winter celebration. Reason number two for winter celebration is, this is the true meaning of Christmas now, it is capitalism, believe it or not. Shopkeepers had stores of food that were going to go bad, and they need to sell it off before the winter comes and wipes out their crops. Well, crops are pretty much wiping out now, and they have their last remnants of food left over, and they got to get it out of the shop. So now, everybody, go get all your friends' presents. Go shopping, everybody! Well, now we have refrigeration and all kinds of preservatives, so we don't have to worry about any of that. But back then they did. The reason I bring this up, of course, is where I am, Westchester, Pennsylvania, we have had a whole problem going on here because the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia, to which I was a board member and recently, you know, stepped down, we put up a tree of knowledge on the courthouse of Westchester, Pennsylvania, Chester County Courthouse. Now, already there is a Christmas tree, a Jesus creche, and a menorah. And we added to that with a tree of our own. And on this tree, we have book covers from atheist books, from scientific books, from philosophy books, books on ethics, all kinds of books, even, I might add, the Bible and the Quran. Now, I wanted to put the Book of Mormon and Dianetics on there, but I was voted down on that one. Those two, rather. But in any case, we do have the Bible and the Quran on the tree. And next to the Bible is Bertrand Russell's famous essay, Why I'm Not a Christian. And next to the Quran is the book Infidel. So we kind of made sure we had those covered. And when we were putting up the tree, there was a old lady standing across the street from us holding up her Bible like a shield, as if that was going to do anything. So we invited her over. She declined, of course, but oh well. What can we say? We tried. We tried to reach out to the community, you know, and the thing is, I have been on defense since we put up the tree. Because, of course, the local newspaper had all kinds of wacko religious freaks saying, oh, this is a tree celebrating nothing, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Christmas is our holiday. Keep Christ in Christmas. And I have to say, this line is actually my wife's line, but get your Christ out of my solstice. There you go. So I've been on defense. I think I wrote a letter to the editor of the paper, and that got in. And the Free Thought Society has been pretty good about also having a bunch of people write in and call in for their shout-out areas. So we have our opinions properly displayed. But even on the Free Thought Society Greater Philadelphia message board, we have had some atheists who say, oh, we should never have put up the tree, it was bad, you know, this is the Christian holiday, we shouldn't try to get involved. And, you know, I disagree with that, and I was pretty vocal about it, and probably one of the most vocal people on that message board for it. And what I did for in celebration of the Tree of Knowledge, and by the way, I will say that this is not the only atheist display out there this year, but there are Tree of Knowledges going on in a couple of other places in the country. They're also in Connecticut. They put up something on the courthouse. It wasn't the Tree of Knowledge, but it was the Imagine No Religion with the Twin Towers. They put that up, plus A History of Christmas, and that's gotten a little bit of flack too up there in Connecticut. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation has put up 2 billboards, because I'm tired of seeing all the religious right billboards. They put up 1 in Pennsylvania, kind of far from where I am, but actually close to where my in-laws were. So I was going to go out there and see that this Christmas, but didn't get around to it, unfortunately. But it was in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. It's still up there. And so we're out there in force, you know, trying to show that we exist. Oh, so what I was saying was, what I did, every year I do a holiday card, if you will. Now, of course, it usually has the Dangerous Talk slant to it. The first year I did it, it was with President Bush ordering our troops to war, calling that the war on Christmas, you know, sending out the troops. And last year was the most offensive card I can possibly think of. And I commissioned this drawing, and Uber Bob put it together. And you can find that. It's one of the most dangerous pieces of art on DangerousTalk.net. So you can check that out still. It's still up there. And it was so offensive that I've had atheists who I sent the card to say to, you know, email me and say, never send this stuff to me anymore. I'm completely offended. And I can't understand why it was offensive to an atheist, because, you know, I admittedly had the image of Muhammad in there, had Jesus getting hard with a very large erection, a very large member, if you will, which seemed to indicate that he could possibly be black. So that might be offensive to some Christians. Jesus was getting hard for Muhammad, so perhaps it was the homosexuality going on here, but most atheists are fine with gays. I know I am. So I don't really see how that could possibly be offensive. And it was titled The Passion of the Christ, and I don't really see how Mel Gibson's movie could possibly be offensive. You know, last year that was the whole big thing. But anyway, that card you can go see. This year's card, it could not possibly be as dangerous as last year's, but I did try to be a little dangerous. I'm still hoping for a fatwa, at least, or at least somebody banning it. It was the Tree of Knowledge, and I did it on the computer. I computer-generated this tree. It wasn't an actual photograph of the real tree. And I couldn't put every book on there, but I did put a good sampling of books on there. And underneath the tree, I had, what did I have? I had the Golden Compass from, the Alethiometer from the Golden Compass. I had the Buddy Jesus, you know, from Dogma. And I also had, I know, it was Muhammad the Bear, which almost got people killed, too. So, you know, it was a whole slew of offensive items underneath the tree, and I was going to put, and I wanted to, and I was going to do it, and I forgot, I was going to put the Jesus dildo, but I didn't get around to it. And if you don't know what the Jesus dildo is, it is in my photo album on the MySpace page, myspace.com/dangeroustalk. So I didn't get to that, unfortunately. I've totally forgot about it, but I was going to add that. Anyway, I sent out that card to some of the Dangerous Talk fans out there. Not everybody, there's too many fans, but some of the people who have helped us over the last year or two, who have been supporters, I sent that out to. And then I also put the whole picture itself on the blog on the MySpace, so you can check that out. And that's on the blog there. And the picture is also in the photo gallery. So you can check that out. And I had a little message there. Here's the message that was on the card. It is, in a world in which knowledge is considered the root of sin and thought has become dangerous, we celebrate knowledge and are proud to discuss all the dangerous talk. Happy winter season to all. Stay dangerous. Your friends at Dangerous Talk. And that's us. So that is the inscription on the inside of the card, and you can take a look at the picture too. Now, I know some atheists out there who I asked for their addresses so that I can send them cards did not want to give me their addresses because they did not want holiday cards. Holiday cards mean holiday, and I don't see it that way. I see it as celebration, winter season celebration. Not necessarily the solstice, which is still kind of religious, but not really. It's pagan when it's based off of, you know, we're celebrating a natural phenomenon, but there's still some religious connotation there. So I know a lot of atheists are upset about this. And the one thing with atheists is, and in this sense, we're similar in, with Christians in this, is that for every atheist that has an opinion, there's another atheist who thinks that that opinion is crazy. And I think South Park made a joke about that when they did their two-part episode with Richard Dawkins. But, you know, I talk about the holiday card, and I get a lot of messages from other atheists that are upset that I would support such a thing. But, you know, what can I say? We want to be included in celebration of the winter season. I don't think that is religious. I don't think we're setting up a religion. This is not about religion. This is about we want to be included in celebration. We want to have fun. That's all. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think we need to necessarily put a religious connotation on it. I don't think every atheist needs to celebrate it either. It's fun. If other atheists disagree, that's fine. I have no problem with that. The Free Thought Society isn't speaking for all atheists. Even though, because of our weight of the organization, many people see it that way. I'm sorry they feel that way, but, you know, just because Reverend Phelps goes out there protesting funerals, nobody blames all Christians for him, even though he's probably closer to the Bible than most of them. But, hey, that's another story. I don't want to get too far into that. Winter season's almost gone, and we still have New Year's left to go, and I know this episode is going to be up on the on DangerousTalk.net for a while, so on Dangerous Demand for a while, so people will be listening to it even into the new year. And new for me, while I'm recording this, New Year's has not yet happened, and we do have some New Year's predictions, if you will. Not all of them are original. I've had this one for a while. I remember back when, earlier this summer perhaps, one of the other earlier shows this year, I said I would ask the Dangerous Talk crystal ball who would win the Republican primary. Would it be at the time Giuliani was skyrockets ahead, Mitt Romney was close, McCain was hot on Mitt Romney's tail, and all the way in fifth or sixth place was Mike Huckabee. And I rolled the, shook the magic eight ball of Dangerous Talk, and I said, who will be the candidate? And it said, Mike Huckabee will be the candidate. Well, it's still not decided yet, but after an Iowa straw poll, Mike Huckabee had moved from almost last place to a third string candidate to now he's pretty much the front runner. Or at least close to it. Giuliani still may be the front runner, but it looks pretty much convincing that the Dangerous Talk crystal ball may have, in fact, been correct. And Mike Huckabee will most likely be that candidate. And I see that as a bad thing. I'd much rather have Giuliani, I'll be honest with you. Because Mike Huckabee will bring out the religious right. Giuliani won't. Giuliani has a ton of weaknesses. Mike Huckabee can take those, what we consider weaknesses, and turn it into fuel for the religious right. So I would much rather have Giuliani be the Republican candidate. I think Giuliani would be easier to take down. but I think that Mike Huckabee has it locked up. And we'll know because in about a week or so, the Iowa caucus will meet, and Giuliani is not even really running in that. And Mike Huckabee is almost certainly going to win there. Even Mitt Romney, who spent a quadrillion dollars there, is starting to distance himself from Iowa and concede it to Mike Huckabee. So it looks like Huckabee is going to win that first primary, and that may propel him further. So we'll have to see how that goes. And that is a prediction that the Dangerous Talk crystal ball may, in fact, have gotten correct. Earlier today, I was sitting around and I was thinking to myself, election fraud. In 2000, the Republicans picked Florida. And let me say this, they picked Florida. It didn't just happen that election fraud happened there. They picked it. They picked it because Jeb Bush was the governor and they knew they had control. So they orchestrated election fraud in Florida. And I don't think anyone out there, any Dangerous Talker out there, is naive enough to think that that was an accident. So we know that they orchestrated election fraud in Florida in 2000. In 2004, of course, they decided that Ohio would be the place to pick. And I'll tell you how I know that that, too, was orchestrated. My second show on the air, which is still available on Dangerous Demand, I had a special guest, Colin Hanna, who is the head of the Republican think tank, religious right think tank, Let Freedom Ring, and he personally went to Ohio and went to the churches and got out the Bush movement, personally. So I can tell you that election fraud happening there, they picked it there. And they knew they could get away with it. They planned it. So what can we expect in the 2008 election? Which state is the Republicans going to orchestrate election fraud in 2008? And I asked the Dangerous Talk crystal ball, which state would it be? And I know this is still 2007 and the election is almost a year away, but the crystal ball came back with an answer. California. California, and I said, no, it couldn't be. California's 50-some-odd electoral votes, and it's almost always Democratic. There's no way California would go Republican. There's no way they could possibly orchestrate election fraud there. So I shook the Dangerous Talk crystal ball again, and it said California. Very clearly, very vividly, I might add. And then I said, screw the crystal ball, because that couldn't possibly be right. So I went to the tea leaves. And again, the tea leaves came back miraculously with the words California. And that's a long word to say in tea leaves. But sure enough, poof, there it was. So California will be election fraud central in 2008. Watch it. Now, the crystal ball has been wrong before. I predicted in 2004, and my wife will always remind me of this, I predicted Kerry by a landslide. And I was wrong. I guess the crystal ball thought that nobody could be stupid enough to vote for Bush a second time. But even the fate has met its match with President Bush. In any case, those are the crystal ball outcomes. And one more prediction from the Dangerous Talk crystal ball, and that is more Republicans will be outed as being gay. That's, I know, a shocker, but personally, my view on this is that any Republican who votes against gay marriage legislation or against gay rights in any way, we should just label them gay. We should just call them gay. After a while, they'll be tired of being called gay, especially when half of them probably really are gay, that they'll just stop doing it. They'll stop fighting to keep gays down. So that way we can win that war. We can win that war just by calling them gay. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but if it's going to get gay rights, I mean, we got to try it, right? I'm all for that. So I think we should just call every Republican who votes against gay rights gay. And those are the New Year's predictions. But we have New Year's resolutions as well. I have to warn you, talkers, next year is going to be a busy year for me personally and for Dangerous Talk. I'm starting my new real estate career, and that's going to take up a lot of my Dangerous Talker time. But I'm still going to find time to do more, first resolution, more shows. Oh, this year, I think we have, what we get to, maybe like 30 or 40 shows. Next year, I want to do more. I want to double. I want to hit the 100th episode of Dangerous Talk next year. That is a resolution. I'm hoping to do it. We'll see what happens. I've been pretty good. Once I started doing the daily blog on MySpace, I've been pretty good about doing it daily. I didn't do it this past holiday week because it's holiday week. But I've been pretty good about doing it every day during the weekday, a daily blog. And some days, I even did more than one. Some days, there are just so much going on that I have literally a ton of things to talk about. Other days, it's a little bit slower, and I'm trying to get stuff out there. But I try to do that. And one of the things I hope to do with the daily blog is have discussion. So some people have been very good. There have been a couple talkers out there have been very good about having those discussions on the blog entries. And I encourage you to go to myspace.com/dangeroustalk and check out our daily blog. See what we're talking about and offer up your thoughts and opinions, please. Even the religious I want to put in there. And there's like one or two Christians on there that offer their opinion every now and then. I did have the infamous blog war, or radio war, I guess, with Mike from the Daily Pew, not the Daily, Virtual Pew. He does his religious left radio show, and you would think he's religious left, I'm atheist, you would think we have so much in common, politics and everything else. But you know what? We just couldn't get along. I don't know why. You know, and I promised I wouldn't talk about that too much. And it's behind us, and I'm not involved with that. I did kind of talk about him indirectly in one of the blog entries, but indirectly, I will say. So I've been pretty good about that, and I want to keep that up. More daily blogs. More columns. More editorial columns on DangerousTalk.net. Lately, we've been a little lax. Our writing staff has been a little lax. I've been lax. I've been busy. I'll be honest with you. One of the things I've been doing is I've been slowly working on a book. And my initial goal was to get this book finished before Rook Hawkins from the Rational Response Squad got his book finished. And he doesn't know it's a competition, but in my mind, it's a competition. So every time I see Rook, I ask him, how far is he? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I can catch up. I can beat him. But I look at how much I've written, and I've written quite a bit. And then I look at my outline of what I wanted to write, and it's just huge. My book on atheism is going to be just so large that I've decided that maybe I'll take a different tact. Maybe I'll do like a bunch of smaller books. And lately I've been working on this one idea for kind of like a 3-chapter book. And it's research heavy, and I'm not the best researcher, and I don't have the time to do so much research, but I'm working on it, and it's been taking up a lot of my column time. So that's one of the things where my New Year's resolution is more columns. In fact, I wrote a column earlier today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little later in the show. Another resolution, more YouTube videos. Actually, today, I saw there's a new website out called atheisttv.com, and he's going to play content from YouTube if you submit it to him, and he's gotten something going on there. So I submitted one video to him already. It was an older video, and I'm hoping to do much more videos, some on politics, some on religion. As you may or may not know, I am stumping for Dennis Kucinich, so I will be trying to get some Dennis Kucinich videos out there soon. I also want to explore many atheism topics, and there's so many to choose from, so many things to talk about. So I will hopefully be doing that, and I have some ideas. And I still have that Most Dangerous Religion video that I'm working on. It's, you know, and I feel so bad because there's a girl on MySpace who helped me with all the research. She did a ton of research for me. And I said, oh, you know, I'm going to use it in this video. And I still haven't gotten that video out yet. So that's a New Year's resolution, to get the Most Dangerous Religion video out there. And one of the reasons why I've been so slow with it is because I want that video to come out really well. I want that to be the Dangerous Talk video, you know, but getting slow with it. Sean Philly over at Rational Response Squad, and also he does the Way of the Atheist column for us, Dangerous Talk. I've been talking to him about putting together a TV thing going on there. And one of the ideas I had, because I meet a lot of Christians, and a lot of these Christians I'm pretty friendly with. Some are wacko religious and some are more moderate. And the idea, they're always asking me to come to their church. And so I was discussing this with Sean Philly one night, and we had decided that maybe what we'll do is we'll videotape something like that. Because Sean and I, we used to go, when we were at Westchester University together in grad school, we used to go to the religious right meetings together. And we used to, you know, just get into discussions. And so we were thinking maybe of videotaping that and doing something like that. So that's my New Year's resolution too, is to get some of those done. I've already talked to 3 Christians about appearing in their churches, and it looks promising. So I'm hoping to do that. That would be awesome. Fantastic. Basically, New Year's resolution, more Dangerous Talk. So that is something that I'm really hoping to do. And I want more of you guys, you Dangerous Talkers out there, to get involved, to help out, to help make a difference. And there's so much we can do. I tried starting off the Dangerous Talker news team. Didn't really work out so well so far. I still have hope for it. The, you know, the site, the thing is still up there. I would really like to have some reporters who have some extra time to actually go out there and research some of these stories for Dangerous Talk. And, you know, just be a nuisance. I would like to see that. I would, you know, last year I was able to go down to Washington, harass some senators. I'd like to go and do that again this year. I don't know if I'll have time, but I would like to do that. It's a lot of commitment to harass senators, believe it or not, because you got to fax them a request. You know, if I'm going down there, I want to meet with more than one, so I got to schedule them in time so that I can go to office, whatever. New Year's resolution, another one, is to get rid of Nancy Pelosi, because she is not working out for us here at Dangerous Talk. She is not impeaching the vice president like I had hoped. So those are some things I want to work on. And our good friend Fernando over at MoveOn.org, he is working tirelessly to push for impeachment of the vice president. And I want to recognize his efforts because he is strong in that, and he is doing a great job. And there's so many other people to mention and single out this year who have helped to make a difference and who are going to make a difference next year. At least that's what the Dangerous Talk crystal ball says. And I can't single them all out. I do want to talk about one more topic, which I promised to talk about earlier in the show, and I want to talk about because it is coming. I've been hit with it about 10 times this week alone. And it is what they call the new atheism. And the thing is, I'm not even sure what they mean. All right, it started off, you know, they go, I heard from a Christian friend of mine, he goes, you know, I'm all okay with atheists, you know, but there's some atheists out there that are just as fundamental and dogmatic as, the religious right. And I said, what? What do you mean by that? And, you know, they go, well, I don't know, they're arrogant, you know, they think they have all the answers. And I go, who? And of course, you know, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Daniel Dennett, those names pop in. Then I hear from atheists even. Other atheists are telling me, you know, I'm an atheist, but, you know, sometimes there are atheists in our movement that go too far, that are too extreme. They're fundamental. They're just as bad as the religious right. Just as bad as the religious right, they say. Now, it just so happens that I'm not the only one who's been hit with this a million times recently. Apparently, the four authors I just mentioned were hit with it quite a lot of times as well. And Sam Harris's first defense was to say, let's not use the word atheism, that way we can kind of get around that whole argument. But it didn't really work, because the media controls those terms, and media is going to label Sam Harris an atheist, no matter what he claims he is. So I think Sam figured that out. He's a smart guy. So what were they going to do now? They decided to do a two-hour video called The Four Horsemen, because there were four authors, and they're the four that are accused of being the fundamentalist atheists. So they did this two-hour video where they discussed this issue, and they tried to put it to rest. And I don't know if it put anything to rest. It was very interesting. I loved it. Thought it was great. I disagreed a little bit with Chris Hitchens, but, you know, not too much. I mean, just a little bit. But I think this was also a way to show that these four authors aren't one person or of one mind on everything, too. So they had some debate and dialogue. So, you know, I thought that was very interesting. But I keep getting hit with it. And by atheists and liberal Christians. And I don't understand it. How could they say that atheists are just as fundamental or just as extreme as the religious right? It boggles my mind. Like, I honestly, I'm thinking of it, and it doesn't make sense to me. And I can't understand why. What possibly could we be doing? And I'm putting myself in that category, that could be considered fundamental. That we know that the Christian God is a false God? Well, gee, that's knowledge which anyone can have about anything. I'm not saying we know the answers. I'm just saying I know that that ain't the answer. All right, I don't know how the universe was created. I just know it ain't God did it. Okay, and I don't think that's too much to ask. And wait, I'm not even saying correct that statement. I'm not even just saying that God did it isn't the right answer. I'm saying Yahweh did it isn't the correct answer. It's like, I don't need to know how a computer works. I don't know how a computer works. We do have experts who know exactly how this computer works. I don't happen to know it. I don't have that knowledge. But if someone were to come up to me and tell me gremlins are inside the computer and they make it work, I would say, bullshit. I'm sorry, I may not know the answer of how the computer works, but I know gremlins ain't doing it. That I know. So I'm not saying I know the answer. I'm just saying I know what isn't the answer, if that makes sense. And I know Yahweh is not the answer. And I can go on that, but I'm not going to, because it's not what I'm going to talk about. I want to talk about the claim itself, that atheists, that there are some atheists that are just as fundamental, just as extreme as the religious right. And I don't see that. If an atheist asks a Christian to justify their beliefs, is that what makes them extreme? Because I gotta say, I'm real skeptical about that. I'm real atheistic about it. You know, what exactly is it that Chris Hitchens and Daniel Dennett and Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris are doing? What is it that they're doing that makes them extreme? That puts them into the extreme atheist category? What are we doing? What is it that the Rational Response Squad is doing which puts them in that category? Or that Margaret Downey is doing that puts her in that category? What are we doing? Are we trying to pass bills that restrict people's beliefs? No. Are we trying to impede scientific progress? No. Are we killing people by our actions or inactions? No. What are we doing? So I decided earlier today I was going to write a column on this. And I recently wrote a column just a couple of weeks ago, I think just last week or 2 weeks ago, called Are You Wiser Than a Fifth Grader? And that column is still going to be available in the archives. But I just put up the new column today, and it is called, let me see exactly what it is called here. It is called Atheist Extremists. And basically, I go into this argument because I know some very rational atheists, people who I admire and respect, who have come to me saying that some atheists are extreme. And I just don't get it. Do people not realize that the religious right are a serious concern in this country? That they have serious hold on what's going on here? That they're not... they're, like, when you say extreme, I don't... like, the religious right, they're not extreme when it comes to biblical views. In fact, they're more moderate when it comes to the Bible and taking the Bible literally. They're not taking it literally. Absolutely, they're not. Because, you know, the Bible talks about blood sacrifices, it talks about raping, it talks about, you know, hating. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, you have to hate your family in order to follow me. Jesus said, you know, all these things. And even the religious right won't go that far. They go, oh, well, Jesus, he didn't mean it that way. He meant, when he said hate, he really meant love. You have to interpret it right. So basically, if you change the word hate to it, mean the exact opposite, then that's what Jesus really meant. So, you know, even there, they stay away from that. And even the slavery issue, you know, Christian, even the religious right won't touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Not anymore. I mean, maybe 50, 60 years ago, that was a big thing, you know. And even before that, it was huge. But now, not even Fred Phelps will touch that one. All right. So, the most extreme Christian out there, Fred Phelps, is moderate when it comes to living the Bible literally, which means that the so-called moderates or liberals are actually just making up their own religion. You know, they have no idea what's in the Bible. Never even picked it up, probably. Or they memorized a couple of choice passages of peace and love. And for every choice passage of peace and love that they can find, I can find probably 20 more for every one of theirs that's, you know, hate your neighbor and, you know, murder this person and stone that person, blah, blah, blah. And then these Christians aren't even really extreme in their numbers. You know, when people say, you know, religious extremists or Christian extremists, the thought is that there's a small number of these people and that most Christians are sane and rational. That is by far not true. I had someone, an atheist, tell me just the other day that in his view, he sees maybe 10% of Christians are religious right extremists. And so I hit him with the raw numbers. Okay, because here are the raw numbers, folks. 56% of Americans today do not believe in evolution. Now, personally, I think if you don't believe in evolution, you know, in the science of evolution, which is as certain a fact as gravity. Granted, they're both still theories, but it's as certain as gravity. I mean, we're pretty damn sure that evolution is going on. You know, it's just a question of how that evolution, whether it's a, you know, how that evolution goes forward, you know, and we haven't gotten all those kinks worked out. But evolution itself is as solid a fact as gravity. And both are theories, mind you. But still, my point is, if you can't believe in evolution after seeing it in our lifetime, seeing evolution, if you still can't believe in the science of that, which all biological science is based off of, basically, today, then I would say you're probably a religious right person. You probably hold those views. You probably, in all seriousness, give money to those wackos, or at least give aid and comfort to them in discussions with people. If you can't believe in evolution, I'm sorry, but I can't see how there can be a meaningful scientific dialogue there. You know, and the fact is, and 56% of Americans do not believe in evolution. 56. I'm not even talking Christians yet. I'm just talking Americans. Because when you think about it, 80% of America is roughly Christian. So that means, I mean, do the math there. Carry the one. 70%. 70% of Christians do not believe in evolution. 70% of Christians do not believe in evolution. 56% of all Americans. I don't know about you, but that's not extreme in as far as, you know, 10% or a small minority of people. That is a majority. And by the way, these numbers are from 2005. These are 2005 numbers I'm dealing with here. So it's 2007 now, almost 2008. Do you think that in the age of evangelicalism, that number has gone up or down? And I don't have statistics one way or the other, but if I'm a betting man and the dangerous tall crystal ball is right here by my side, and I'm shaking up right now, it says that number probably went up. Up. A lot up. I mean, there are more evangelicals today just by walking around and seeing things, by my observation, than there were 2 years ago. So if the evangelical movement is growing in 2 years, 70% of Christians don't believe in evolution, I bet you that number is up to like 85. You've got to be 85% of Christians don't believe in evolution. And I bet you it's at least up to 60, 65% of Americans don't believe in it. Do not believe in the science of evolution. Can you imagine that? It's like people still believe that the world is flat. That's how retarded that belief is. And because I'm calling that out, that makes me just as bad as they are, according to some. Just as bad. Just as extreme. Now, I understand Christians feel that when scientists say that, you know, the majority of scientists view evolution as an absolute fact, that in their mind it's like saying, you know, the Pope says X and that's a fact. Doesn't make it so. I think Christian scientists, or no, that's an oxymoron, Christian right people see that poll being done. And they think that every scientist gets together and takes a poll, votes in a straw poll, or has their primary and decides, okay, evolution's a fact today. And so their answer is, we'll just make scientists, Christian scientists, we'll just make Christian scientists, and then they'll vote the other way, and we'll overturn the vote, and now evolution won't be a fact. But what they don't realize is science doesn't work that way. Not, you don't get a vote if you have a white lab coat. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is there are scientists who specialize in these fields. Those scientists write papers. They have hypotheses. They have evidence, they have theories, and then they test those theories, and they either alter their theories or scrap them or keep them if the evidence, you know, supports their theory. So that's how science goes. They write their papers, they put them in a journal, a scientific journal. Other scientists who specialize in this field read the article. They go, I'm going to disprove that guy. Because if I could disprove that guy, I can make a name for myself. So he goes and he does research. And he gets all kinds of research grants to try and disprove evolution. All right. Then he writes his paper. He tries to replicate the other guy. And he, you know, writes his paper. And it's peer reviewed. And if his evidence holds up, then scientists go, oh, you know what? I guess I was wrong. Oh, well. And they move on. They don't get attached to their theories the way religious people get attached to their deities. It doesn't work that way. The thing is, peer review is a lengthy process. And it, you know, and not just any scientist can peer review any work. You have to have a specialty knowledge in these things. And it's those scientists who have done those peer reviews that are being polled on this issue. And believe me, if they could disprove evolution, they would make a fortune. They would get a ton of grants. They would be famous. So it's not like they're not trying. And believe me, the religious right, if they got one thing, it's money. And they will fund anyone who can try, who can find any evidence whatsoever against evolution. And they haven't found squat. Diddly squat. Nothing that could stand up in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Nothing. What does it say? What does it say? It says they're full of crap. All they can do is spend billions of dollars on a creationist museum full of animatronic and all kinds of fancy gear gizmos. You know, that money could have better been spent in actual scientific museums. But instead, it's funding this fake bullcrap. That's crazy. Crazy. I don't know. I don't even know how to go forward from there. It's like, I have a ton of money. Let me make a museum proving that the world is flat. And I'll have animatronics. And I'll have all this high-tech stuff that's very, very impressive. But does it make it true? No. For all their money, for all their new experts that they keep inventing, because they think if they give somebody a white lab coat and a title, they could get the vote. They have nothing. Nothing. Unbelievable. But they keep pushing it, and they're fighting this culture war. They're fighting it not on the within the scientific community, because within the scientific community of these experts, it is certain. The mechanisms of how are not, and I hesitate to say certain, because certain means two different things, okay? For the religious right, certain means 100%. When I use the word certain, I don't want to mean 100%. I want to mean 99.999999 repeating, because the way I see it is, we could all be in some freaking dreamland, and all of this could be bullshit. In fact, some philosopher in Princeton recently came up with just that theory, that we could all be a sim game. And certainly that could be true. And if that's true, then any conclusions we come up with in this sim game are questionable to the reality. But based on what we know, that's where we're at. And I don't want to get too steeped into this crap. But if you have any questions or opinions on this, please, by all means, send me an email, dangeroustalk@gmail.com. Maybe I might have confused this issue more than I clarified it. And I'm sorry if I did that. Maybe I didn't express myself as well as I'd hoped. And also, if you're out there and you want to comment on this further, you can email me, you can make a YouTube video, you could comment to me through MySpace, and we're at that announcement time. So, this show and all our past shows are available on Dangerous Demand, and you can listen to them now or whenever. And I hope you will check them out. Some of our past shows are pretty good. We also have the MySpace page, myspace.com/dangeroustalk. And I have the daily blog there. Got photo gallery there. Some of our models are there, spokesmodels. Got all kinds of other stuff. The MySpace page is really where things are happening right now. But we also, of course, have stuff on dangeroustalk.net. You know, we have a ton of stuff there, and I'll get into that shortly. We also have the YouTube page on youtube.com/dangeroustalk. Doing all kinds of stuff there. Columns on the website. We got a couple here. Got a few ones. My new one, which is Atheist Extremists. You can check that out. I just put that up today. So it's brand spanking new. Run on the front page. Current columns. Silent Steve Stories. He has his Christmas story up there. Our Father Who Art in Our Wallets. Check that out. Sean McGonigal's The Way of the Atheist. The Irony of Islamo-Fascism Awareness Week. Sean actually confronts Rick the Prick Santorum and lives to talk about it and write about it in this column. So that is something absolutely worth checking out. Secular Spice, Janice Rail, writes, Atheism aside, separation supporters should seek solidarity. My brother, Mike from the A-Team, writes a modest proposal, and his current one is Response to Michael Gerson, who I guess is a religious right wacko. Oh, I should mention Silent Steve's got a website for his stories, oneoveralpha.com. Check that out. Casey Petit writes Geekology 101, and her current column is Hard Out There for Model Yo. She has a website, too, called Casey Rules the World, in which she is naked. On my site, she's just scantily clad. So you can check that out, Casey with a K. And my Christian columnist, Tom Meredith, writes The Religious Middle, and his current column is On Being Born Again, Clarification of a Controversial Phenomenon. And Tom is a good friend of the show, so he was on an episode not too long ago, so you can check that out, too. We also have competitions and projects. Competitions, most dangerous song competition. We got a bunch of songs up there. Vote for the one you think is most dangerous. Most dangerous art competition, and we have two entries for that. One of them was last year's holiday card, so you can check that out. Projects, we have the Halloween Forever. If you're dressed up in a costume and want to be a picture on DangeroustTalk.net, you can hold up the Dangerous Talk logo, snap a photo, and send it to Halloween Forever. DangeroustTalk@gmail.com. You can print out the Dangerous Talk logo from DangeroustTalk.net. Free Them for Freedom. That is only open for the women, I'm afraid. Free Your Breasts for Freedom. Hold the Dangerous Talk logo. And that's self-explanatory there. We also have the photo gallery. Oh, I just remembered I have one more New Year's resolution. I've been working on for a while the gay kissing project, and I still haven't quite gotten the kinks worked out of that one yet, but I hope to get that out sometime in 2008. We also have our photo gallery where we have our spokesmodels. Aaron, Jackie, and Sarah, so you can check them all out. And we also have in the photo gallery everyday people who are holding the Dangerous Talk logo sign or wearing a Dangerous Talk logo shirt, as the case may be. And also when we go to different events and stuff, we try and snatch some pictures. So some of those pictures are there too, including inside Rational Response Squad headquarters pictures. That's always fun, too. So, yeah, if you want to be a part of that, you can print out the logo from DangeroustTalk.net, snatch some pictures of you and your friends, send them to me, and I'll put them up. Absolutely. We also have the No Confidence project that I'm working on. You can go to DangeroustTalk.net and print out an impeachment poster It's no confidence, vote no confidence. And basically I'm pushing everybody to call their representatives and print out these posters and take them to rallies that you go to and protests and whatnot, and say that if any representative, Democrat or Republican, doesn't actively push for the impeachment of Dick Cheney, that you will write in a vote of no confidence. And we got to threaten their jobs because we sure as hell don't have the money. So that's the way I see that. And we need everybody out there to do that. There are, we have the Dangerous Talk store where you can buy the Dangerous Talk shirts. There are a couple of, we also have a charity, Atheists for Autism Research, that I'm asking everybody to donate to. I don't touch that money at all. That money goes directly to Autism Speaks, and you're donating in the name of atheism. So, you know, we can help prove that atheists are charitable people too. And I know I got a lot of flack from people who say we don't need to prove that, but they may be right, you know, and I respect that view, but I'm just trying to create some evidence the other way. So that atheists are charitable people. So you can go to dangeroustalk.net and click on that link, or you can go to the MySpace page and click on that link. I also created a MySpace page specifically for Atheists for Autism Research, so you can add them to your friends list on MySpace. Not on that page often, so I don't update it very often, but I do update it, so definitely add them. We also have friends that have helped us out, the Rational Response Squad. You can go to rationalresponders.com. Richard Dawkins Foundation, he has a website, richarddawkinsfoundation.com. Sam Harris has a new one, and let me see exactly what this one's called. The Reason Project. That is Sam Harris's new charity, and I think you can get to it through Sam Harris's website, which is samharris.org, and he'll have all kinds of stuff on there for that. It looks very promising from the description. I also want to give a shout out to our friends at freethoughtforums.org, and they've been very supportive of us. Also, godisimaginary.com. Those guys are awesome. Their videos kick all kinds of ass. Now, I do have a donation button for dangeroustalk.net, but one of my shots at the virtual pew here. I'm asking not to donate to us. I don't want your money. I would much rather you take the money you are going to donate to Dangerous Talk and instead donate it to Atheists for Autism Research, or donate it to the Dennis Kucinich campaign, or donate it to a charity in the name of atheism of your choosing, or to the ACLU. Which brings me to this quick story before we end the show. Somebody was telling me this atheist guy got cut off in traffic. And the guy who cut him off had a Bush bumper sticker and religious rights stuff on his car. And he got so mad that he got even. He donated money to the ACLU. That was his get even. And that's a brilliant, brilliant atheist way of getting even there. Because those religious right people, they hate the ACLU. They hate them. So even though I have the donate button, so you could donate to us, I'm asking you don't. I'm thinking of taking it off the website, but I'm leaving it on there just in case, you know. But I'd much rather you donate to any of those other organizations, or the Rational Response Squad, or Richard Dawkins Foundation, or Sam Harris' new Reason Project. Donate to those groups. FSGP, you know, donate to them. I'm too small. I don't need the money. I'm not going to do anything with it, really, anyway. I'm just going to turn it around and donate it to one of those groups anyway. So there we go. Got that out of the way. And that is it for this week. That is it for this year, I should say. Be dangerous. See ya in 08.
I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.